afternoon. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. Thanks for tuning in. Got a great show for you today. Well, here's my question for you to get this conversation started. How are you preparing for this holiday season? Just pause and think about that. You're probably doing more than you even realize. You're praying, you're baking, you're shopping, you're praying some more. You're pondering what the holidays and the gatherings might be like. Well, I want you to know, let's ask another question. How do you suppose God feels about you as you hurry from one thing to the next, from here to there? What's your instinctive thought about that? How do you suppose he feels about you? Well, here's some good news as you prepare for this holiday season. This is from my guest today. She says this, God does not make a list, nor does he check it twice. My friend, Asherita Chuchu, which is kind of the coolest name ever. I love her name. She's written a beautiful Advent devotional. It's titled Unwrapping the Names of Jesus. Would you believe this thing has flown off the shelf to the point that it's actually right now out of stock? A new shipment's coming back hopefully this week, but you probably couldn't buy it in the store right now, but we've got three copies of this gorgeous hardcover Advent book. It is beautiful. The content is rich. If you want in on the drawing, email, because it'll go out next week. Let's see, where are we now? Middle week? It'll go out this week. Actually, you may get it at the beginning of the week, even on the weekend. Email livethepromise@myfaithradio.com. livethepromise@myfaithradio.com. Quick announcement before we hear from Asherita. We've got the great giveaway coming up here on Live the Promise. And we only do this on this particular show. It's our hope and our prayer to mobilize thousands of us, right, to get outside our comfort zone, to engage in a random act of kindness this holiday season. So I'm asking you, are you with me? I pray you will be. Thursday, December 21st. We open the phone lines for both hours of the show where you call in. It's like you come back from the mission field, so to speak, and you share your story. And I want you to get creative. Don't do something you always do. Do something you normally otherwise wouldn't do, right? Travel outside your comfort zone. Ask God to help you meet a need around you and then tend to it. And then on that day, everybody who gets on the air will get some Christmas candy and a book off of our Faith Radio shelf. And then two of you will win a great giveaway gift basket. The value is about $100 per basket of books and goodies, and just our way of saying thank you for engaging the hands and feet of Christ this season to those in need. So let me tell you about my guest. We'll get her on the show. Asherita Chuchu is a writer, speaker, and founder of One Thing Alone Ministries, an online community of women who find joy in Jesus through creative spiritual disciplines. Asherita grew up in Romania as a missionary kid, lives with her high school sweetheart and spunky children in Northeast Ohio. We're so glad to have her back on the show with us today. Dear Asherita, welcome back to the program.
Thank you so much for having me again, Susie. It's a joy to be here.
Love having you, and your just congratulations on a great success for this beautiful book.
Oh, to God be the glory.
Amen.
He has just done amazing things with this.
That's fantastic. I'm so thrilled for you. Well, you've been on the show before, so you know this. We love to start by talking scripture. And you chose Isaiah 9, verses 6 through 7, and I would so love for you to read that passage and then just speak to it, if you would.
Yeah, so Isaiah 9:6 says, "For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding him with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever." Mm. And I just love that because, well, for one, it's a familiar passage for us at Christmas time, for us, unto us a son is given and born. But also it has so many beautiful names of Jesus in this passage. And at the same time, there's a sense at which these things, some of them have already been accomplished, but some wait to be accomplished when Jesus returns. So I'm excited for all those meanings in this passage. It's just so special to me.
So powerful. Well, Asherita, I'd love to know how this particular book was first born in your heart.
Yeah, it's a bit of a story. I didn't grow up enjoying Christmas, per se. I was a bit of a Grinch. just in that, being a missionary kid, there was so much going on at Christmas, so much outreach, so many programs, so many things to do. I think sometimes Christmas can bring out the best and the worst in us. And for me, it was just such a stressful time as a child that I kind of grew up as a young adult and into adulthood. I remember being pregnant with my first child and being with a mentor mom of mine and saying, "I'm going to ruin Christmas for my kids. I don't know, like, how to do this." And she looked at me with such kindness and tenderness and said, "Asherita, create new traditions for your children. You get to decide what Christmas looks like in your family. So that sent me to my knees, and I said, Lori, can you teach me the meaning of Christmas again? Like, I know it's about Jesus, but would you help me rediscover the joy of Christmas that I haven't had in years? And he led me to the study of Jesus' names. Because if Jesus really is the gift of Christmas, then the way we unpack or unwrap that gift is by getting to know him more mm-hmm. and growing in our love for him. And what better way to do that than to look at the names that he uses for himself in Scripture? And so as I did that personally, for the first time in my adult life, Susie, in the weeks leading up to Christmas, I just sensed this anticipation and excitement building up, like one name after another. Each name was like a new gift that I got to unwrap, to the point where Christmas morning came and I didn't have to fabricate joy or pretend it. It was just overflowing in my heart that Jesus is born and what that means. And that's what I want for readers as well.
That is beautiful. I love that there's such a story behind this book, Asherita. That's just truly amazing. You know, so often at Christmas, you know, we relegate him just to the baby as the baby in the manger. And at Easter, he's Christ on the cross, and he's both of those mm-hmm. things. But he's so much more than that. And I think it would expand our Christmas and even our Easter season if we could take more of a comprehensive view on who he is. I'd love to know how your relationship with the Lord was impacted, but even your perspective on who he is as you started to dig into the various names of Jesus.
Yeah, so it's a bit of a confession. Like, I grew up in the church, so I made this list of the names of Jesus, and as I was compiling it, I mean, there's so many, they didn't all make it into this devotional, but as I was looking through it, I kind of had the sense of like, oh, I know that one. Oh, I know what that means. But every single time, Susie, without fail, that I sat down to study a new name, God just blew me away with the depth and the riches of that name, of the meaning, of the significance. And I believe we're going to dig into some of those in the next half hour or so. But I think it transformed the way I see Jesus and the way I worship him. Mm. Because we have, I think, you know, unintentionally, I think we put God in these boxes of, oh, I know who God is, and I know what he does, and I know who, you know, how he operates. And we have our favorite names or our favorite pictures of who he is. But when we look at the whole counsel of Scripture, there are names that challenge us. There are names that lead us to repentance. There are names that show us gaps in our theology or maybe things that we understood wrongly. There are names that move us to reconciliation or that demand that we transform our lives in alignment with who he is. And that's been my experience. Even this is the fourth year now that I've gone through the names. And even now I read these names, I study them, and it's fresh every time. Lord, transform my view of you. Help me love you more and know you more.
That's just beautiful. Well, for those who don't know, I mean, they know the name, the word Advent. They maybe open an Advent calendar, but maybe don't know where it originated from, why we recognize it as part of our holiday season, and why maybe some don't. Speak to that, if you would.
Yeah, so I didn't celebrate. I mean, I didn't grow up celebrating Advent, so for me, it was a journey as well. And I was surprised to discover that the church had been celebrating this back to 300 AD, a long, long, rich history. And the word Advent is a Latin word that means coming. And so part of it is that we prepare our hearts to celebrate the first coming of Jesus as a baby in a manger. But it also has this rich meaning of preparing our hearts for the second coming of Jesus as we fix our eyes on the heavens and say, Maranatha, come quickly, Lord Jesus. And like in this passage in Isaiah, it talks about what was already fulfilled, but what we're awaiting to still happen as well. So there's this just rich preparation time that extends beyond Christmas. But different churches celebrate or observe it differently. It has traditionally been a high church observance, but in recent years, I've seen more and more Protestant churches adopt this and say, it is good to look to rest and intentionally prepare during this Christmas season. So they're traditionally the four Sundays leading up to Christmas Day, and each week has a different theme. Sometimes there's an Advent wreath with candles that will be lighted to celebrate or to remember that week's theme. So preparation, hope, preparation, joy, and love, and then the Christ candle in the middle.
So good. Talking to Asherita Chuchu. Love this beautiful book. It's an Advent devotional, Unwrapping the Names of Jesus. It's just really, Moody really nailed it. It's a hardcover, gorgeous book that will look beautiful on your table. And then the content is so rich as you dig into the names of Jesus. And even the practices she challenges you to engage in, to light a candle, to read a passage of scripture, maybe to sing a song. But you're preparing the way for the Lord. Isn't that just a sacred time to get ready for the Christmas season? When she comes back, we'll talk about, or when I should say, when we come back, we'll talk about hope, that Jesus is the hope of the earth, and we'll dig into some of the names of Jesus. So don't go away. We'll be back in a minute. An old one, but I get goosebumps every time I hear it. Thanks so much for tuning in today. Susie Larson here. This is Live the Promise, talking to Asherita Chuchu, and she's written a gorgeous Advent devotional book titled Unwrapping the Names of Jesus. And Asherita, week one is the focus on hope, and you reference the verse, Isaiah 9, verse 2. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light, and those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. Talk just about the idea that Jesus is the hope of the earth.
Yeah, so as we were lighting the Advent candle for the first time with my four-year-old daughter this week, I explained to her that this is the candle of hope. And she looked at me and said, Mommy, what's hope? And so it was this great opportunity to explain that because of Jesus, we don't have to be afraid of the future. We don't have to fear what will life be like because we can trust him. He's the one who fulfills every promise that he has made. And so as we look at the Christmas season in particular, it might be a time of challenges or busyness or heartbrokenness, but because of Jesus, we have hope. And not just here and now, but we have hope eternal because we have life eternal in Jesus.
And you know, it's so beautiful about the way this book is laid out. So I'm looking at hope. So each week there is kind of an Advent exercise. And then each day of that week, you've got a special reading on the names of Jesus. Really such a wonderful, unique thing. So I want to look at this hope challenge, so to speak, and have you just describe, kind of explain how it's laid out for friends. So you write, if you're going through this devotion with your family, you can go to the online, onethingalone.com/Advent, print out questions and scripture readings on separate slips of paper, distribute them among your family members in order to involve everyone. Most of these components are simple enough even for small children. So you open with a prayer, you light a candle on your Advent wreath, you read a verse out loud, and then someone asks, why do we light this candle? And then someone responds, this candle reminds us of the promise that a Messiah would come bringing peace and love to the world. And then together you read a passage of scripture, and then you have some discussion questions, and then you've got a carol and like a prayer. Talk about just that layout and what you envision for families or couples as they're walking through those Advent exercises.
Yeah, my hope is that this devotional will equip both people individually, parents or grandparents or even single people in their own personal relationship with Jesus, but also that it will then help us bring our families and communities together. And so the Advent wreath is a great space to do that. And I know for me, one of my questions since I didn't grow up observing Advent was, well, how do I do this exactly? Like, how do I have these conversations with my children? And so my hope with these four family celebrations is that I kind of give a script, if you will, of like, this is how you can go through it and then adapt it to what works for your family, for your situation in life. Maybe you do it with people in the nursing home. Maybe you do it, and instead of doing it with your kids, you go and you do it with your elderly parents. There's so many different options to adopt this. But one of the things I found as, you know, just reading and talking with people about why don't we do more to prepare our hearts to celebrate Jesus? There's so much we do to prepare our homes. But I think part of it is we just don't know how. for this devotional, I'm hoping to take some of that guess out of it, some of the guesswork, say, okay, here's one way to do it.
Okay, so let's talk about some of the names of Jesus, the resurrection and life. And in that chapter, you say many people fear death and dying. And then you kind of go on to explain why this aspect of Jesus' nature is so profoundly important to us. And, you know, it is true, Asherita. So often we live with kind of that kind of looming fear without really bringing the name of Jesus into that and putting it in front of that fear to say that might feel true, that might be true, but truer still is that Jesus is the resurrection and life. Explain the significance of that.
Absolutely. So Jesus is the only person in history that has the power over life and death. We've seen people in the Old Testament and New Testament like ask God to resurrect someone, but Jesus is the only one who has entered death and annihilated it, gained victory over death by submitting himself to death itself. And so, you know, Paul has these beautiful words, where death is your victory, where is your sting? Because we serve the Lord of Lords who has conquered death from within and has brought life eternal. And so we have the promise of the resurrection. Those of us who believe in Jesus Christ and surrender our lives to him, we don't have to fear death, because even though we might taste it temporarily, our souls will be resurrected, our bodies will be resurrected into eternal life with Jesus. But that's not just a future event. We're promised that resurrected life here and now, because we will never ultimately die, we can experience life in a different way, knowing that we will never be separated from God. There is such hope in the fact that Jesus is the resurrection and the life.
Amen. And the challenge in that chapter, and you've got a challenge in each one, just for us to take the thought a little bit deeper. So think, friends, of Jesus being the resurrection and the life this Christmas. And here's the question from Asherita. What does it mean, then, to live like the resurrected? What implications does this mindset have on your relationships, job, finances, service, pastimes? Then pick one of these areas and ask the Holy Spirit to show you how to engage in it as one for whom life is eternal. I'd love for you to just say more from your own life as you thought of Jesus as the resurrection and the life, and ask God, show me an area where I can engage my faith and see it more from an eternal perspective. What has he shown you?
Well, just recently, my husband and I were having a conversation about finances, and it's the number one topic that couples can argue about. Mm-hmm. So I was like, okay, so here we are, like part of the statistic. And yet there's this challenge of like, okay, what does it mean for our finances that we are resurrected people, that our lives are eternal, and what we do now we believe has eternal significance for the kingdom of God. What are some of those implications in our budget and our spending habits and our giving? And I do not claim to have this all figured out, but it is one of the areas where the Holy Spirit is challenging me personally to say, okay, when it comes to my own budget, what does it mean that I am resurrected in him, and that all I have is his, and everything I do now counts for eternity?
That's so good. Okay, just to give you a heads up, we got about 4 minutes to our hard break at the bottom, but I'd love for you to talk about Jesus, the King of Kings, and what that means.
Both at the beginning of Jesus' life by the Magi and at the end by those who nailed him to the cross, Gentiles were those who proclaimed that Jesus was king. His own people did not receive him. But this has profound significance because Jesus is king not just because he was anointed by someone to be king, but by the very fact that he created all of earth, all of heaven. Everything is his. He owns it. And so he is not just a king. He is the king over all kings. And when he first came, he came as a humble king, born in a manger, available to all who would come to him. But we see in Revelation, when he comes back, he will return as a warrior king to claim what is rightfully his. John says, on his robe and on his thigh, he has the name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we look forward to that return of the King of Kings to claim what is his. We will be part of his kingdom. But this is one of the names that challenges me, because Jesus isn't a weakling. He's not this like wannabe rock star, you know, trying to claim at bits of popularity. He is the King of Kings. He deserves all honor and all glory. And the truth is, he receives it 24/7 nonstop in heaven. Everyone in heaven worships the King of Kings. We are the one who are given the choice here and now, whether we will be part of that now willingly or whether it will be forcefully when he comes to claim what is his as king. Philippians says, every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father.
Yep, we're all going down. I mean, some of us willfully and worshipfully, and others will be horrifically because they'll realize they had a chance and they had a choice and they opted not to take that gift of grace. And you write this, the entire universe worships the King of Kings, but as humans, we often miss the privilege. I want you to hear that again. The entire universe worships the King of Kings, but as humans, we often miss the privilege. We're so often focused on ourselves that we become prideful, angry, and even annoyed with others, especially in the busyness of the holiday season. Today, take your eyes off yourself and fix your gaze on the King of Glory. We've got about a minute, Ashrita, before we'd have to take a break, but I wonder if there are certain songs that help you engage in worship, or how do you go there with the Lord?
Yeah, the songs move me to worship. In fact, I created a Christmas Carol playlist that is all about the names of Jesus. Mm. That centers my mind and heart on him. And I've been playing it nonstop the last few weeks. It's one of the resources that we provide in our free Advent resource library at unwrappingthenames.com. But one that has meant a lot to me is Joy to the World, the Lord has come. Just such joy in acknowledging that he has come once and he will return again.
Boy, that's so good. And if maybe you're listening today and you need a reminder of God, Emmanuel, Jesus Emmanuel, he is with us. If you want to get on Asherita's website, because the book is currently out of stock, but they're hoping and praying to get those back out on the shelves within about a week. But you said there are free resources on the website. Give us that website one more time.
Yes, it's unwrappingthenames.com. And your listeners can get a free 3-day sampler, and that list I was talking about, and so many other great resources that we have.
Unwrappingthenames.com. Make sure you check that out. Talking to Ashrita Chuchu. Again, the title of her book is Unwrapping the Names of Jesus, an Advent devotional. When we come back, we're going to talk about Jesus, the light of the world. We're going to talk about preparing a way for the Lord and what that means in this holiday season. We'd love to get your name in the drawing. Just email livethepromise@myfaithradio.com, and we will be back in a minute. Glad you tuned in today. Susie Larson here. This is Live the Promise, talking to Ashrita Chuchu. I just love her name. She's a beautiful heart, a great writer, and she's written a beautiful new devotional, an Advent devotional, Unwrapping the Names of Jesus. It's this gorgeous hardcover book by Moody. They did a great job with it. It is out of stock. It has sold so fast. We have three copies and would love to get your name in the drawing. Email livethepromise@myfaithradio.com. Put the names of Jesus, and don't forget your mailing address, and three of you will get a copy. I think you'll probably get it in the mail by this weekend or beginning of next week. So we're walking through some of the names of Jesus and what that means for our Christmas perspective. Light of the world. I love this. You said Jesus illuminates our lives with his brilliance, shining into every nook and cranny. Even the revelation of hidden sin is a gift from him. Say more about that.
Yeah, I think sometimes we think light is always great. And in many ways it is, but light can also pierce the darkness. And it can cause people to turn away from the light. Even physically, when you think about it, like your eyes need to adjust to the bright sun. And so it's the same in our own lives. When Jesus comes shining his light, there are areas of our lives that will be illuminated that we might not have thought that need dealt with. There might be unforgiveness in our lives towards someone. There might be an addiction or a habit that as Jesus shines his light there, he says this. He says it out of love. This we need to deal with because this is keeping you from a closer relationship with me. The graciousness of Christ is that light is not one of condemnation, but it's one that invites us into a relationship and into redemption.
Boy, you know, you're so right. When we sing that he's the light of the world, we think of a starry night and this just beautiful sight, and that's part of it. But you're right. When the light goes on, we see our need. That's just true. And pray that we have the humility to respond to what he's showing us, because he's not trying to expose us. He's exposing the lie so he can set us free. So, wow, that's great. Well, okay, so week one was all about hope. Week two in the Advent devotional is about preparation. And you reference Isaiah 40, verse 3, prepare the way for the Lord. I would love to know your thoughts on what that should look like in our life, especially as we journey along this road to the holiday season.
Yeah, I think part of it, honestly, Susie, is just being intentional about creating space for this. And one of the questions that comes up is, like, my life is so busy, I have so much going on, I don't have time to add yet another thing to my list. And I get it. I mean, as a mom to two young kids, I get the busyness. And yet, at the same time, the reward is in seeking him. God promises that those who seek him, he will never turn away, that he will reward with more of himself. And so this preparation in the Christmas season isn't to impress God, and it's not to make ourselves feel better, because like you opened your show with, God doesn't keep a list of everything we do. In Jesus Christ, his grace covers us. The reward is ours, though. When we prepare our hearts expand with his love. They expand with adoration and worship and our understanding of how great he is. And all of a sudden, the things in our own lives, not only do they gain new meaning in the light of who Jesus is, but sometimes they fall into place when we realize, oh, he is the Prince of Peace. He can give me peace in this place. He is the Good Shepherd. He will lead me through this valley. There's such reassurance in the names and character of Jesus Christ.
So good. The Word of God. You say that Jesus is God's creative word. He's his communicative word, and he's his final word. Love for you to say a little bit about each of those.
Yeah, so we live in unprecedented time in history when so many people in America especially can read and write. And I think we forget that is such a privilege, because historically speaking, most people were illiterate. And so advanced knowledge was out of reach for them. And so when Jesus is the Word made flesh, he is God's communication to mankind, made accessible to everyone, everywhere. He's God's creative Word who spoke creation into the world and said in the beginning, let there be. And created everything through his word. He's also God's communicative word. In the past, God used prophets to speak to his people. But in Jesus, God's word is available to anyone who listens. And he used God's full revelation. Everything we need to know about God, we get to know in Jesus Christ. And also the final word on the cross when he spoke, it is finished. He spoke about what is needed for redemption for God's people. And when Jesus said those words, that was the finality. There are no more sacrifices needed. There is no more doing needed to be right with God. Jesus is the final word of God.
Love that. And just his the access we have, no matter where we've been, no matter who we are, no matter what our race, ethnicity, economy. You said Jesus is the Word of God made accessible to old and young, schooled and illiterate, Jew and Gentile, past and present. And in this Word became flesh, we see the greatest manifestation of God's love. It is unfathomable that love came down to rescue us. I mean, Jesus blew the doors off of expectations and perceptions for the Jews and the Gentiles alike, didn't he?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And there's just what love that he would include everyone.
Yes, amen.
Into his family. Mm. And I think the challenge for this day, that's something that's personal to me, because I think we often use the terms, you know, I'm going to spend time in the Word. And I think there's great value to studying Scripture, and we should be students of the Bible. What a gift that we have it and we can read it. And yet there is more meaning to spending time in the Word. It's spending time with Jesus. It's talking to him, listening to him. Mm-hmm. He continues to speak to our hearts through his word even today.
Amen, amen. Okay, this one, Jesus is the Lion of Judah. Explain the significance of that one.
Yeah, so there's this favorite image I have from C.S. Lewis's The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, where Lucy asks Mr. Beaver, is the lion safe?
Mm-hmm.
And his response is, who said anything about safe? Of course he isn't safe, but he's good. Mm. He's the king, I tell you. And I think sometimes we have this portrayal of Jesus as this gentle Caucasian man with long flowing hair,
yeah,
standing at a door and knocking. And there may be value to that in a limited view. But the Lion of Judah is fierce. This picture of a lion, especially when you consider a young lion, his raw power makes enemies scatter. I mean, Isaiah has strong prophecies about what Jesus will do when he comes back as a Lion of Judah, as a King of Kings. There will be no one who will stand against him.
Mm.
He's also sovereign in his power. And we see the lion as the king of the jungle, and his whole pride stands behind him and is protected because the lion has that stance intimidating his enemies. And that's the same for Jesus. Jesus is the one who annihilated the spiritual forces against our souls. And because he is the Lion of Judah, we are safe in him because he is the one who fights for us.
Hallelujah and amen. And you said Jesus is the triumphant Lion of Judah, and though his enemies scatter in fear, we know he's good. His awe-inspiring strength comforts us and even reminds us to posture our hearts in humble adoration. I mean, again, that we can get near, that we can be assured of his glad welcome, and that he is fierce, he is strong, he's mighty, and he's accessible to us. Again, this is all, these, no matter what season you find yourself in this holiday season, when you focus on the names of Judah, you see you're the richest person of all. I mean, we really have everything we need, and this time on this earth is so temporary, and our troubles really are fleeting. I just love this, Asherita, that you're kind of grabbing our faces and say, hey, let's look at the names of Jesus. That will change Christmas forever. I mean, thank you for doing this. Wow, so good.
Thank you for having me. You know, my hope is that as listeners read through this, that it wouldn't just change our hearts at Christmas, but that would transform us come January and
Amen.
February, that we would be worshipers of Jesus, that we would grow in our hearts, in our love for him, and that it would just set us on this trajectory to seek his face.
So good. And I don't know if you thought I was wrapping the interview up. I wasn't. I was just pausing and giving you a virtual hug over the airwaves. So I want to keep going if you're good, but I want to talk about Jesus.
Let's go.
All right, let's do this. The Holy One of God. Speak to that one.
There's this picture in Isaiah where Isaiah sees God on his throne and the angels are worshiping and the temple's filled with smoke. And it is this terrifying scene as the angels call, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." And throughout the Old Testament, holiness means being set apart, having no blemish. And the only way to access God in the Old Testament was to bring these sacrifices of atonement, sacrifices that would cover sins. It was this complicated system that really meant to point to the ultimate sacrifice, which is Jesus Christ. And we talk more about that in the Lamb of God. But as the Holy One of God, Jesus is the only one who could fulfill every requirement for that perfect sacrifice. And there's a sense in which God's holiness can be intimidating and fearful, and rightfully so, because on our own, we are not. I think if we're being honest, any one of us can recognize sin in our lives. But because Jesus is the Holy One of God, his holiness does not threaten those who love him. It's his holiness that gives us reason to hope. Because he's the Holy One of God, he clothes us with divine righteousness that we could never have on our own. So we don't have to draw back from God. We don't have to fear entering his presence because Jesus' sacrifice pays the penalty of our sins, cleanses us from unrighteousness. And there's this beautiful verse in Hebrews that says, because he is the great high priest, he stands at the right hand of the throne of God, interceding for us. And so we can come boldly into his presence because of Jesus.
And you write this: when God looks at us, he sees us as holy and righteous because of Jesus. We are already positionally holy before God as we continue to grow practically in this holiness day by day through the power of his Spirit within us. And Asherita, we've gotten so casual in our approach to God that we often miss this important aspect of who he is, that he's the holy, Jesus, the Holy One of God. Yet Proverbs tells us that the fear of the Lord is just the very beginning of wisdom. Just speak to that before we take this last break.
Yeah, I think we lose the preciousness of Jesus and his sacrifice when we treat this so casually. I mean, even though we can enter his presence boldly, we don't do it casually. Amen. We don't saunter into the throne room of God. We come with reverence and awe and respect because we don't deserve to be there. We deserve to be in the pit of hell. And yet because of God's great love for us, he welcomes us through Jesus Christ. And that ought to move us to our knees and to worship every moment of every day, because it is his love that welcomes us in his presence.
We're going to pause here and take a break, but I want to reiterate what she just said. Even though we can enter his presence boldly, we don't do it casually. That one aspect of who Jesus is might change your holidays this year, where you enter boldly but not casually. You take your shoes off. You acknowledge it's holy ground, that this great king, he left his throne and he put himself in human skin to come and get you, to love on you, to cleanse you, to change you, to redeem you, and to write a promise over your life. Isn't that just amazing? And doesn't it put perspective around the annoyances and irritations maybe you're feeling and the worries and the stresses this holiday season? The King of Earth is Jesus, and he came to seek and save the lost. Amazing. Talking to Asherita Chuchu. Title of her book is Unwrapping the Names of Jesus. We'll continue. Next, a name we'll unpack here is Jesus, Lord of Lords, and what that means. We'll be back in a minute.
Silent night, holy night, all is calm, I'm singing, all is bright.
Thanks for tuning in today. Suzy Larson here. This is of The Promise, talking to my friend Asherita Chuchu. Love her book. It's gorgeous and it's just beautiful content. It's an Advent devotional titled Unwrapping the Names of Jesus. And if you just tuned in, this is one you want to go back and catch the whole show. Once the live show is over, we'll have it up in podcast form and you can listen and just sit by the tree and listen. It will just help you enter in to this season for what it really is about. So we're walking through some of the names of Jesus. Asherita, let's talk about this one. Jesus, Lord of Lords. You say that when we submit to his lordship, we can rest assured that we are in good hands. Talk about that.
Yeah, we don't really use the term lords in our vernacular right now, but I was a bit of a Downton Abbey fan. And in that show, they use lord and lady. And historically speaking, a lord had dominion or responsibility over subjects. And so that lord was responsible to take care of those who lived on his land, to protect them from enemies. But then his subjects were responsible to pay tribute to the lord and to serve the lord and to sign up to be in his army if he ever went to war. And so that's kind of the concept of lordship. But Jesus is the Lord of Lords. He is above any earthly ruler. And yet he carries those characteristics of a Lord. He takes care of those who belong to him. He is the one who provides for them, who makes sure that they have adequate supplies. Everything we need is given to us by our Lord because he takes care of us. And yet his lordship demands submission. And that is part of what it means to call Jesus Lord, is to say, I will surrender to you. I will submit to your control over my life. And in this life here and now, he doesn't demand that lordship, even though he deserves it. He gives us the choice to willingly acknowledge him as our Lord. But as we talked about Philippians 2, one day every knee will bow, everyone will acknowledge him. And yet it is in our best interest to surrender our lives to him because he takes care of those who belong to him.
Amen. Amen. How about this one, the great high priest?
We alluded to this one earlier. But in the Old Testament, the system of sacrifices, there were priests who would come in and offer sacrifices and offerings to make up for the sins of the people. And yet the great high priest was the only one who was permitted to enter the most holy place, the Holy of Holies. He could only go in once a year, and that was to make atonement for the sins of the people. And even before he entered the Holy of Holies, he had to offer a sacrifice for his own sins so that he would be cleansed before he went in. Because anyone who entered the Holy of Holies with sin, without acknowledging, without being cleansed from that sin, would die on the spot because of the holiness of God. And yet that whole system pointed to Jesus Christ, who is our great high priest. He is the one who went into the holy presence of God and who made sacrifice for our sins once and for all with his own body. And because of that, our great high priest is the one who intercedes for us even now. He's the one who stands before God. And when we pray to God, our prayers reach him directly because Jesus is the great high priest who is there on our behalf.
You said Jesus is not aloof and prideful, but rather concerned and available. So think about this, friend, listening today. The great high priest, he's not prideful, he's not aloof, he's concerned, and he's available. This comforting truth invites us to approach the throne of grace with confidence. So beautiful. I don't know, we got about, 5 minutes before it's time to pray, so I'm going to jump ahead. Talk about the man of sorrows.
Oh, this one is so special, Susie, because I think the Christmas season can be hard for many of us. You know, whether we are facing an empty seat at the table, or there's strife in our family, or there are things going on in our lives that we want to paste on that smile and pretend everything is merry and bright, but in our hearts it's not. And Jesus is the one who gets it. Any type of pain is pain that he has experienced. We see this glimpse in the Garden of Gethsemane, that mental anguish that Jesus experienced before his betrayal. I mean, he was betrayed by his own close friends. He was abandoned by those who were supposed to stand by him. Physically, he was beaten brutally by the Roman soldiers. And his own, that he came to love and sacrifice himself for, rejected him. Any type of pain that we can experience, Jesus experienced on our behalf as well. We're told the whole realm of human existence, yet without sin. Jesus had the power to stop everything, but it was his love for us that compelled him to step forward into that suffering, into that ridicule, into hanging on the cross. That kind of love, Susie, it's one of the names that makes me pause and tear up and say, that is love of God shown to us in Jesus at Christmas. And yet that is the love, that is the name of Jesus that gives me hope that my own brokenness in my own family, in my own experience, I can bring it to Jesus because he understands. He knows what it's like, and he offers comfort and hope in his presence.
Here's a prayer from that chapter. Oh, Lord, what can I say in the face of such love? The punishment that brought me peace fell upon you, and you willingly leaned into the suffering that was meant for me. Every sorrow and suffering I face, you faced first and bore the wrath of God for me. Thank you, precious Jesus. Thank you. And then there are other verses for further study. Okay, let's talk about the Lamb of God.
This is beautiful. I mean, John proclaims it, John the Baptist, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And we talked a little bit about this already, this Old Testament system, priests bringing sacrifices, because sin requires punishment. I think we don't talk about this enough. God did not just ignore our sin. He is righteous. He is just, and sin requires punishment. And so for Jesus to become the Lamb of God, that means that the holy, righteous wrath of God was poured onto Jesus, poured onto that Lamb. His death on the cross atoned for all of humankind's sins once and for all. Like I said, this isn't just blind forgiveness. Oh, you know, don't worry about it. It's going to be okay. No, this is violent justice. It's not cheap grace. It's costly grace. It is eternal reconciliation. God acknowledged all of our sins, and he made provision for them through his Son. This is what makes possible a relationship with God. It is that Jesus became the Lamb of God who took on him the sins of the world so that we might have the righteousness of God.
And the challenge in that chapter, here's the question, and maybe this is something you can do, friend, listening today. The question is, have you lost the wonder and the awe of Jesus' sacrifice for your sins? Well, today, worship Jesus for his sacrificial atonement, for taking your sins on himself. Pick a hymn or a song that speaks of his sacrifice and sing it to him in thankfulness. And wondering, Asherita, is there a particular song that speaks to you in that way regarding Jesus, this Lamb of God?
Yeah, the one that comes to mind is When I Survey the Wonder.
Oh, my goodness, yes.
On which the Prince of Glory died. Amazing, amazing grace right there.
Wow. I'm just going to say this out loud while I am asking Aaron, if you can pull up, see if you can find Catherine Scott's, that version, When I Survey. We just played it the other day. I'm wondering if you wouldn't mind just praying for that person listening today who's realizing they've been in the hustle bustle and they need to cease striving and maybe more deeply know that he is God. Would you pray?
Yes. Lord Jesus, thank you that because of you, we can come into the Father's presence. Thank you that you are the gift of Christmas. And we come right now. I acknowledge my own heart loses wonder of who you are. And I pray that you would open our eyes to your beauty anew, that you would awaken in us the joy of Christmas, that you would stir in us the desire to seek you and to find our satisfaction in you. Thank you, Jesus, that you are everything we need. Amen.
Amen. Asherita, I just love you, and I thank you for sharing your beautiful heart with us today. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much. And may you have a Merry Christmas.
And you as well. We caught a portion of the song. We're going to play it to the end of the show. Listen in.
When I survey the wondrous cross on which the
meet you back here next time.